Hello, Robert.
Hey, Lucinda. How are you this week?
Busy.
Yeah, right? We took in a lot of art this weekend.
As always.
Yes. Okay. You go first.
I stopped by Works on Paper Gallery and got to see the Chris RWK show ahead of the official show opening. First, I went on Wednesday during lunchtime.
Okay.
And it had just gone up.
Nice.
And I narrowly missed the artist, who notoriously keeps his face private.
Oh. Ooh.
He's almost like Petit Garçon.
Banksy-esque?
It's very Banksy-ish.
Okay.
And then I went by with Petit Garçon on Saturday after his French class.
Nice.
And by then, there were so many red dots. So much stuff had been sold.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. After we went to Works on Paper Gallery on Saturday, Petit Garçon and I went to Da Vinci Art Alliance, and we saw the solo exhibition by Dominique Sammarco, Philly, wow. Dreamin' and Becomin'.
Yep.
And then the BYO Print Portfolio Exchange was on the second floor, and I also made a print that day because they had like an activation.
Petit Garçon make one as well?
No, he left. My husband met us there. What we really want to talk about.
You know, always want to talk about it.
Okay.
It was closing season ballet weekend.
La Sylphide and Etudes.
First of all, La Sylphide. Okay. The ending.
Mm-hmm.
They all die? Hello? I was waiting for a happy ending. It was going to be a storybook piece. It was going to be classical. It was going to end great. No. What happens to the fairy at the end? Dramatic loss of one wing. Dramatic loss of other wing. What happens? Then there's this rogue body that just is risen up off of the stage floor. It was insane.
Sidebar, there is a post on Instagram of the rogue body, and it is not, it was not the ballerina.
No, it was not. No, it was not. That was a bad wig, too. That was a bad wig.
Do you think they used the same wig for every ballerina? Or did every ballerina get their own body double? So, for those who don't know, I think that La Sylphide was kind of giving Swan Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But in Scotland, with some fabulous tartan, sidebar,
yes.
Robert's family has their own tartan. I link that in the show notes?
Yeah, sure. It is the Anderson tartan. Okay.
The Wood Nymph Gang was the La Sylphide version of the Swan Gang.
Yes. Yeah. Girl group. Yep.
Who was in the role of James when you went? Do you remember?
Ashton.
Ashton was in the role of Gurn,
okay,
the cousin, and I think his name is Zay Sheng.
Z.
He was in the role of James, or the male lead, and his expression of unbeknownst sheer glee when he rapped Nayara.
Oh,
who was
nice.
In the role of the sylph with the poisonous scarf. It was just like this look of sheer joy. And meanwhile, the fairy is dying in this poisonous scarf. That was not lost on me, and I don't think the rest of the audience. I loved the witch. That was some good character work by all the dancers.
Yes, so good. I don't even know. You know what? I didn't even look at the program to see who my witch was, but so great.
Mm-hmm.
So much more characters in this piece altogether, more than usual.
Quick question. In the manner of those internet memes that call out the movie villain versus the actual villain, who was the intended villain of the ballet, and who was the actual villain?
Oh, this is tricky. Intended villain, probably the witch.
Mm-hmm.
Actual villain, the selfish guy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. You can't have it all. Sorry, James. You can't. And you got to let your fiance down easy. You can't just run away. right? You got to at least leave a note, you know? You just can't leave on your wedding day and just say, peace, I'm going to the ferry, right? Uh-huh. No. Leave a note. Let her know. Whisper in her ear. Do something. No.
Talk to your cousin.
Exactly.
Be like, hey, you got it from here.
You got it, right? Thanks so much. Oh my God. Don't worry about going around the woods looking for me. No, no, no. None of that happened. And then guess what?
Everybody
dies at the end.
Robert, do you want to talk about etudes?
Yes. We're in the 1800s. We have intermission. They flip the stage. Now we're in 1940s. Etude starts. It is incredible. It starts off in bar class. Lights shine in. It is just the ballet dancers' feet and the legs highlighted by the lights. The lighting for the show is absolutely incredible, and it builds from there, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, because you're going from bar class, learning from the first steps as you do through ballet, and the ballet crescendos from there as you have progressed through ballet class. It was great. I got to see Z dance one of the male parts Friday night, and he was incredible. He hit every single beat. Who was your Saturday?
The Saturday cast, the ballerina, was Sydney Dolan. Yeah, I know. Okay, guys, Robert just pointed to the cast list that I pulled out of my program for Saturday night. And it was Sterling Baca and Ashton Roxander.
So you got real lucky, because I think you got the same cast as opening night on Thursday. The Inquirer's article called Ashton a young Angel Correa from his performance opening night.
Speaking of Angel Correa, before we get to the conversation, I have a piece of hot goss for you.
Oh my gosh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Center stage. The 2000 era dance movie that took place at the fictional American Ballet Academy. Are you with me?
Yep, I'm here.
The artistic director of the Philadelphia Ballet, the very Angel Correa, was originally supposed to play the role of Carlos, but because of a ligament issue in his feet, the role went to dancer Sasha Radetzky, and the character's name was changed to Charlie. Did you know this?
No. No.
There was a reel published a few days ago that spilled this tea, and Angel confirmed it in the comments. We dissected it this afternoon in the office.
Wow. This really turned into a water cooler conversation. I mean, it's worked out for him.
I think things worked out. Okay, on to the conversation.
On to the conversation. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Anthony Roth Costanzo, the general director and president of Opera Philadelphia. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Anthony, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and possibly share your true Hollywood story?
You know, I'm an opera singer, and I have been, I realized, for 30 years. Stop. Isn't that crazy?
That is not a way.
And I am a countertenor, which means I'm a guy who sings high. I sing very high. And I started on Broadway when I was 11. I did my first professional production.
Wow.
And then from there, I got roped into opera when I was 13 because somebody said, we want you to be in this Benjamin Britten opera. I knew nothing about it. It was really complicated, but I loved it. It was so cathartic. It was so emotional. It was so beautiful. And so I got hooked. And the next opera I sang was on the stage of the Academy of Music with Luciano Pavarotti.
No way.
When I was 14
Full
years old.
Full circle. Oh,
isn't that
my
crazy?
God, that is.
I mean, I'm not going to say you peaked early, but that is a lot to live up to yes. later on in life.
I know. But no, I mean, I went on, I did a Merchant Ivory film. I went to Princeton and studied a lot of different things. But I decided to really pursue the opera thing, even though I could have gone in many different directions. And I loved it. And I learned all the technical aspects of being an opera singer. I went to conservatory. I learned so much. And I did all these competitions. And I wound up eventually, after a lot of failure, winning and getting these roles at the Metropolitan Opera and all places. And I came back in 2009 to Opera Philadelphia. And I did my first production with the company. And I continued on, and I realized that I was interested in so many different things, like art and fashion and dance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, opera has all of them, but I didn't see a lot of the art and fashion and dance that I liked in opera. So I started to create my own shows to try and sort of expand the field. And one of them I did in partnership with Opera Philadelphia in 2018 before I was even, you know, a glint in the eye of the organization. And it was a big collaboration at the Barnes Foundation the painter George Kondo and Justin Peck, the choreographer, and Raph Simmons, the fashion designer, and Micheline Thomas, who's gone back there, and many other people. And Tilda Swinton even made a video for us. So we did a really exciting collaboration, and I was bit by the producing bug. I realized that I could reach more people and have more impact and change the art form if I found a way to create not only with my voice. And so when this opportunity came up to run Opera Philadelphia, you know, I thought it was really interesting. I am in the prime of my career, and I didn't want to stop. But I thought that the fact that I had access to all kinds of, artists and funders and organizations through my own professional career, that proposed a certain value proposition for the organization. And it was an unconventional model, and it allowed me to take some of the values that were really important to me around access, around art and creativity, and bring them to an organization.
That's incredible. It's a great story, and it's a great opportunity that you've brought to Philadelphia. You've had the chance to kind of break through walls that had been put in place both at the opera but at most arts organizations, and you broke them down with a sledgehammer in your first year. You've had absolute amazing success with your first year as general director and president, and you know, it hasn't even been a year yet, Anthony.
It's
so great. What do you see has been your biggest and most proud moment with the organization so far this year?
Well, when I came on board, we had a lot of debt, and we had to pay it fast because there was more money that needed to be spent for our first opera. And it created a problem. It meant I had to raise $4 million in 12 weeks.
Jump change.
Yeah.
Jump change.
Yes.
So I was thinking about that. And, you know, sometimes in those moments of crisis, you have to return to your values. Mm-hmm. And I saw that we hadn't sold very many tickets for the upcoming season. This would be 2024-25. And I realized that I felt like price was a huge barrier. And in fact, if most of our income was contributed by individuals and foundations and corporations anyway, what if we removed that barrier? What would it do? What would the possibility around it be? And how could I create a brand around removing that barrier that would also indicate, okay, something's changing at the opera. There's this new vision there. And so I had to push a lot. Our board, our staff, you know, they were all super supportive, but it was just new and it was a heavy lift. And
it was
a big change. And they were like, what do you want to do in what time? And you want to give away all this money that we would otherwise get? And I said, look, I think if we're looking at the serious money we need and the way for people to make an investment, I think it's around this. And I had this belief deep down that people are curious about the opera. They maybe just don't want to spend $150 to sit in a nice seat and watch it if they don't know about the form or the piece or anything. So I wanted to sort of say, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to dress a certain way. You just come, and it's a cheap date night. It's cheaper than the movies.
Right.
And so we made every ticket for every show, every seat in the Opera House, $11 or pick your price. And Pick Your Price was the name we came up with, and we built a brand around it, and we launched it, and the story took off, and through press alone, without any internet, it reached 1.5 billion people in the newspapers and television that it was on, and wow. Then, yes, and we had 450 million impressions on social media, so it was a big moment.
Yeah.
But the question really became, was the audience there? And Philly came through, you
yes.
know, the audience is there. And we were right. Within a matter of weeks, we had sold out the entire season, and we became the only opera company in America with a sold out season. So that was very emotional for me because it meant that people want to see opera.
Oh yeah, they do.
You know, even if they don't know what opera is, the being offered a chance to see it. And the first opera they saw was an American premiere by the composer Missy Mazzoli called The Listeners. It wasn't a book. It wasn't a title they knew. It wasn't even music that had existed for hundreds of years or old-fashioned dusty costumes or anything like that. And it met the audience in a perfect place. And there was laughter and gasping and applause and all kinds of things. And I thought, wow, you know, this audience is so engaged. And we saw the statistics bear out some of the change. So, you know, 67% of those ticket buyers were first-time ticket buyers. 69% were under the age of 45.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
And across age and race and all these demographics and zip code and everything you can imagine, we radically diversified our audience almost overnight. So that certainly was a very proud moment for me. And just seeing the numbers change in a matter of weeks was really yeah. thrilling.
You were able to break down a huge barrier.
Well, I think it's a process like anything, but I love the qualitative info in addition to the mm-hmm. quantitative. You know, one of my orchestra members said, oh, there's all these big belly trash cans in Philly. You should buy ads on those trash cans. And I thought, of course we should buy ads on the trash cans. How much does it cost? And so I bought, I think, 8 trash cans for $5,000. And of course, don't, you know, tell this to the city officials, yes. but they tend to just leave the ads up after your month has yes. expired.
Robert, yes, we should do. Buy some trash cans for the podcast.
Yes.
I'm telling
they
you.
Do.
I'm telling
they
you.
They do. You're right.
Because they just
if
leave
nobody
them
else,
up.
If nobody else has space or wants to buy them.
They're not going to take it down.
No way.
So we've been up for a year. With our Pick Your Price ad, and there was a guy I talked to, and he said, I came to the opera for the first time. And I said, well, why did you decide to come? And he said, well, I was walking up Broad Street, and I saw this trash can, and I said, this is so fabulous. And he loved The Listeners, but we didn't have another opera for a couple of months. And he said, but I wanted to see another opera. And he told me he took the train to New York, and he got rush tickets to the Met.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, that's how you can build an industry, that you can yes. build someone's interest. Other anecdotes, you know, if you leave your kid home with a babysitter, it's more expensive than bringing them to the opera. So it's easier to bring your kids with you. And yesterday I was with an 8-year-old at the opera, and her mom seemed sort of indifferent. Like, I mean, she's been telling me she wants to go to the opera forever, but we've never been able to afford it. And so now they both were there together. The little girl was so excited. I gave her a little button and sticker. And, you know, you think, okay, you know, this is how you build the future. And similarly, I had one subscriber who said, well, I only subscribe to the classic operas. I only like the classic mm-hmm. operas. But when you made the tickets $11, I thought, well, I'll try that American premiere. I'll try that new opera. And you know what? I liked it. So there's all different ways that this program allows us to build people's interest,
correct.
To expand our programming,
oh, yes.
to think different.
Just giving the artists new eyes in the seats and allowing for those stories to ripple out and expand, because now each one of those individuals has a story that they're going to share.
Exactly.
With so many more people.
Exactly. Word of mouth.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You're going to need a bigger theater next year.
Well, luckily, we're doubling the number of performances because I think we can engage that many people. Yes. So I'm really excited that we have twice as many shows as we did this season.
That's great. Lucinda and I had the privilege of going to see Don Giovanni yesterday, and the place was packed. Packed. I mean, we even commented on the third tier.
The top tier
of the Academy that is usually never sold, that had people overlooking the balcony the entire time. It was great.
I went up to, we call it the amphitheater, and sat up there. And it's really fun up there, I have to say. The sound is really good. Yeah. You get like this view of the stage. You can see everything. There were older people up there, younger people. I mean, it was such a mix. And I like the way it shakes up the opera house. You have, you know, young people, new opera goers sitting next to board members. It's really, really fun.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So this episode is set to drop on 7 p.m. on Wednesday, May 14th. You know what that means. The $11 opera pass or monthly subscription will now be available. Can you tell us what inspired that wildly popular program and what the program structures now will look like for next year?
Yeah, the $11 pick your price tickets are now available. Now you can go on the Opera Philadelphia website. You can look at any show, even the gala, and you can get a ticket for $11 or a price of your choosing. I sometimes think, okay, if I want to buy a ticket, what do I feel like spending? Maybe I can do $30 because I like this. Or maybe I want to make a gift to the opera for $100 and buy my $11 ticket. There's all different ways to do it. But you can go now and get your ticket. They went really fast last year, so I encourage you to go fast. And if you want that, like, premium experience without becoming a subscriber, which we love when people become subscribers. Yes. They're our favorites. They spend a lot of money and support us, and they provide access for everybody else. Mm-hmm. But there's now a new program called Opera Pass, and it's just $11 a month or $111 a year. And it means you're going to get invited to events, which are going to be really fun. You're going to get an email every month with offers like, hey, you want to go to a Broadway show at the Kimmel? 50% off. You want to go to the orchestra? You know, we are going to pass along some free tickets. And it really engages people in the cultural scene in Philadelphia, which is what you're doing. And it gives you first access to those pick your price tickets as well for $11.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Young Friends programs were an entry point for Lucinda and I when it came to the Philadelphia Ballet and the Philadelphia Museum of Art for the both of us. Can you let us know a little bit about Vivace and the Young Friends Network at Opera Philadelphia?
Vivace is a really fun program. It's our young friends and young patrons and just young people having a good time and wanting to be a part of the opera. And whenever I hang out with them, I'm like, wow, these are the cool people. You know, they get together and talk about opera. They have drinks. They get invited to other cultural parties. And people get to know each other and become friends. I think there's even been some romance that's happened.
Oh, wow.
I love art romance.
Right? And date night. I mean, opera and dating is so fun. You know, what's better than falling asleep on your date's shoulder at the opera? And then they have to wake you up and be like, this is the good part now. It's just like a fun way to be really engaged with what we're doing. And because I love everything that's happening in Philly. I mean, there's so much going on. We're partnering in new ways. So I just did an event with the ballet, and it was the first partnership between the opera and the ballet. Can you believe that?
Yes.
And this summer, we're partnering with the Art Museum, since you mentioned both of those, and we're presenting 4 concerts in the garden at the Rodin Museum. So if you're a Vivace member, you can just get invited to all this super fun stuff. And, you know, we want you to help us grow our company and expand our tentacles further into Philly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay, I'm going to chime in here. As the resident 40-year-old, how young do you have to be a member of Vivace?
So I guess it's 45 or under. But let's say that you're 50, because some of us are getting close. You can also just get an opera pass, and you'll get invited too. So there's lots of different ways to engage, and the community is really, really fun. And it's also growing, which I love. I love being at the opera and seeing all these different faces.
It's amazing.
I know that the orchestra has sound all around for children. Mm-hmm. Is there anything similar to that or comparable to that from the Opera Philadelphia?
Opera Philadelphia works in a lot of educational ways. We invite schools. We had almost 1,000 kids at our dress rehearsal for Don Giovanni, wow, which is amazing. We go into schools ourselves. And we also have a program called Backstage Pass, which is awesome, where teenagers can get to, like, work with the crew members, look at all of the different careers, hair and makeup, everything backstage, and see, like, what careers you can have. But yeah, since our tickets are $11, I think every show is an opportunity for kids. And I remember when I was a kid, seeing adult shows and seeing those shows with adults was the most exciting thing, yes, in the world. So Rossini's Viaggio a Reims, which opens our season next season, I think kids are going to love that. It's like an art museum where all the art is coming to life. And it's going to be a child's dream. Yes. So, you know, I hope that you bring your kids to the opera. And then also there's all these opportunities we create for a point of access, an on-ramp, a point of connection with the art form.
Okay, to those listening, I'm going to give a pro tip. When you're with kids, always buy the aisle seat. Continue.
And the aisle seat isn't more expensive at Opera Philadelphia. It's, right? $11.
Yeah, it's perfect. You had mentioned, and we are most excited to hear about Opera Philadelphia's 50th anniversary, which is an amazing milestone for an arts organization in the city. What are you most excited about in that celebration for next year?
It's a big responsibility, 50 years of opera, can you imagine, and all the effort that's gone into it. So we're doing a big gala at the Academy of Music, and I was thinking about the voice, which is so intangible. You know, it is our identity, it is our mode of expression, and yet we can't really visualize it, you know, and it disappears the moment it happens. So I thought, what if there were some way to create a representation that was visual of the voice? And I asked Drexel to collaborate with us, and we made a whole course where students looked at different ways to take variables like volume and pitch from the operatic voice and have it send a command to a machine that then paints a canvas that sort of creates art. And so our gala, instead of just being famous and young and cool singers singing, they're all going to sing, and each aria is going to become a painting.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
In front of your eyes.
That's great.
And then, being out of the box as we are, we're going to have the gala portion at Reading Terminal Market. They're going to keep 8 stalls or 9 stalls open for us. And we're going to serve Philly food. And it is going to be wild. And we're going to auction off those paintings.
Oh, I was going to say, those better be auctioned off later.
My gosh, that's incredible.
So if you heard one aria you liked and then you saw it paint this beautiful yellow color and you were like, I want to remember that forever, you can buy that painting and support Opera Philadelphia.
That's amazing. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, such a great idea.
I love how out of the box that is.
Well, you know, we were thinking about what our tagline for our 50th anniversary year was going to be. And we decided it was going to be opera, but different. And that is what we do. We love the tradition of opera, but we like to innovate as well.
Right.
And we have an incredible team. I don't know of another opera company that has this amazing creative thinking team. And so I think that ripples out, and we don't move away from the tradition. We just find ways to embroider it, you know.
We did congratulate you on selling out the season and being the only one in the United States to do so.
The only opera program in the United
That's
States.
That's absolutely, absolutely incredible. So once again, congratulations. But where can people find Opera Philadelphia, both online and in real life?
If you're an Instagram person, at OperaPhilla, but it's also operaphilla.org. We're on Facebook as well. That's the best way to find us. You can find me at AR Costanzo, and I'll talk to you. I talk to everybody.
Yes.
I love to hear about your experiences at the opera, hear about what you want to do, what you're excited about. And if you're another cultural organization and you have an idea for collaboration, reach out, because we've been making lots of connections.
Anthony, to close out, we have some rapid-fire questions for you. What is your favorite beverage at the moment?
My favorite beverage for the summertime, mm-hmm, is that you boil sliced ginger for 30 minutes to an hour and in just a big pot of water. And it becomes really strong. And then you put that in a pitcher and cool it down. And then I put a little bit of liquid stevia in it. And it becomes like a ginger ale, but not carbonated. It's so refreshing. You can put lemon in it. I'm really into that. And it's very good for your health. Yes. Anti-inflammatory.
I love that. You may be newer to Philadelphia or very used to Philadelphia, but what is your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
I'm getting to know Fishtown. I went to Kalaya the other day. Yeah. Oh, my God.
How delicious.
But there's so much cool stuff. I mean, I have to say that I really, like, I want to dive into Fishtown and understand it.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much to see. Which opera performance, anyone in history, would you wish you could have seen in its original iteration?
You know, Maria Callas sang a concert at the Paris Opera that is on video, but it was like legendary and she was in this gown. And I just wish I could have heard that. And I'm going to sing a solo concert at the Paris Opera in the same theater in November. So I'm just like dying inside. Yes. You know what I mean? Because I remember freshman year of college in opera class, they showed that concert and I was just like, I had goosebumps watching Maria Callas. So I wish I could have been there for that.
Which Philadelphia performance company is the city sleeping on currently?
I'm such a big fan of what Ballet X is doing. I think they're so cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone's sleeping on them. I just think, like, we have to go investigate what they're doing because they're, like, awesome.
It's so great. It's so true. Cheesesteaks with whiz or without?
Oh, it's a hard call, isn't it? Yes. You know, I think it depends on what time you're eating it. Like, if it's at a reasonable hour, I'd be like, without.
Yes.
But when you're late and hungover or tired, right, like, you want the mouthfeel of cheese whiz, which is really all it has. There's not a lot of flavor.
So true. Don Giovanni, a chauvinistic pig or misunderstood man?
A chauvinistic pig, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't condone his behavior in any way. I think he's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think he's a chauvinistic pig.
The Philadelphia art scene in one word.
Vibrant. I feel like it's so amazing. And Philly's just the best. I also don't know that anywhere else Pick Your Price would have worked. Like, people got together and they were like, we're going to do this. We want this. Oh, we're going to make it. And, you know, similarly, there's classical, there's underground, there is artsy fartsy. There's like every side of culture here in Philly. And I love that. You know, the city represents so many different stories and people, and you see that reflected in the art. And yeah, it's a great place to be creative.
I'm already probably seeing groups coming together, getting on the opera website, and trying to get the tickets all at one time. It's going to be their football draft lottery day.
What if it breaks the website? Is your website ready?
It might.
We were worried because it happened fast last year. Yes. But I, of course, like one queer group of friends that I know, they were all texting each other and they were like, oh my God, they just announced $11 tickets. And they were like, We've never gone because it's been so expensive, but everybody, like, get it together. Do you want to do row D? Do you want to do row E?
Yes.
And I feel like that's the vibe today. Like, when you're hearing this, those tickets are on sale.
Yes.
And you better text your friends and get it together.
Yes. Better yet, just take leadership over it and buy out a row. They can Venmo you later. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Venmo it back. Yeah. I mean, you know. take initiative.
They're going to go faster than Taylor Swift tickets, guys.
It doesn't matter if you've never heard of what's happening. Like, just have an experience. Yes, it's a date night, you know? It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Lucinda favorite.
You always say that.
Well, it is. Are you a Carrie, Charlotte, Miranda, or Samantha?
Oh, that's such a good question. Thank you. I'm not a Charlotte, I don't think. And I'm not a Miranda, although I play one at work.
Don't we all?
And I'm not really a Samantha, although there are moments, you know. But I think I'm kind of a Carrie.
Yeah.
I do. I think I'm a little tortured, but, you know, have a zest for life.
Love it.
That's a very generous way of describing her.
That was perfect. Well, Anthony, thank you so much. And everyone, try and get your tickets. They're going to go very quickly.
Thank you, Anthony. See you at the opera.
Robert, I'm not doing anything this weekend.
Well, there's a lot going on, Lucinda, so maybe...
Break it down for us. Plan our weekend.
Cecilia Paredes, By My Side, or Back of Me, opened about 3 weeks ago at the Prince Center. It continues to be on view through July 19th, 2025. There's two exhibitions at Da Vinci Art Alliance, a solo exhibition by Dominique, Philly Dreamin', and becoming on view through the 25th, and a BYO print portfolio exchange, What's Next, on view through the 25th. Chris R.W.K. show is ongoing at Works on Paper Gallery.
Heads up to the parents of kiddos age 3 through 6, the Settlement Music School, Mary Louise Curtis branch, and the Suburban Winfield branch opened registration for a 4-class summer tapestry strings program. And they are offering violin, viola, and cello. This is a fantastic opportunity to give your littles a musical educational experience and test whether it would be a good fit for a school year activity. Also, financial aid is available. Fun fact, Settlement provides $2.7 million every year in financial aid. Buy your tickets for the Philadelphia Theater Company production of Small Ball. Just 2 Fridays ago at 9 p.m., the PTC received the notification that their NEA grant for $50,000 was rescinded. So let's sell this out. The $11 Opera Philadelphia tickets are live as of the day that this episode is dropping. Don't wait to order yours. I bought the Opera Pass last week, the one that Anthony was talking about, in order to get access to the pre-sale tickets. And guys, there are not a ton left.
And the Philadelphia Ballet Spring Festival at Red Rose Farm in Villanova is coming up. There is a benefit event happening on Thursday, May 29th, and then there is a family picnic day on May 31st. And as always, Philly has heart.
And art.
Hold on.
I was like, wait.
Where's my calendar?
I went to the Rain Hills Art Fair yesterday. Who did I see? I'm like literally looking it up.